Hello, I'm Rob London. Welcome to What Would Brian Bevan Say? So, with peace talks showing perhaps promising signs in the Middle East, where are my two podcasting negotiators? Firstly, he's the Neville Chamberlain of the podcast, recently back from a successful meeting with FTSE, waving that all-important science statistics white paper in the air. It's Sam Sankey.
Hello, good evening.
And also, with the diplomatic skills of a bull in a china shop. Yes, as conscientious as a foghorn in a library. Although, let's face it, the average Wire fan doesn't really know where a library is. Introducing, it's Grandad Dennis Waywell.
All right.
Congratulations, Jesus. Dennis. You're my only friend that's a granddad. I think I know a few mates back in Warrington who are great, great, great granddads now.
That does make sense.
Yeah.
Well, it's good. I got asked today whether I look a bit sort of European, I suppose, maybe, you know, a bit further east. And I was asked if I was like, you know, we've got Roman sort of, features and this, that and the other. Well, I've got a Roman nose. It's good to see my granddaughter, the genes have been washed out and there's no big nose. So, yeah,
that's good. And your uncle was Wazim Akram, wasn't he?
Yes. I've always enjoyed that sort of, little comparison. I like Wazim Akram. Yeah, so all good on the genetic front. What have you been up to, Rob? Have you been up to anything?
Not too much. I went to watch Daniel Kitson last night, a work in progress. He's touring the UK in autumn. So we were the guinea pigs last night, so we went out. Always a bit apprehensive when I go out with Mrs. London on our own without the kids because, you know, are we going to have anything to talk about? But we had a lovely night. We went for Thai first and then watched Kitson for 2 hours. I'd recommend it. Tickets are going to be £15 in the UK.
Hang on. I don't want you to recommend it because I want to make sure I get a ticket because they're hard to come by. So let's just take it. Were you anxious about the sex at the end of the night when you were having your sort of date?
We were home for... I think about 8:30 because it was a 6 o'clock showing when we got there. Yeah. It says everyone had their tea. We'd already had our tea. We weren't silly. Yeah. We got out there early.
Yeah. You avoided that question.
How are you, Sam? All good?
Yes. I'm very good. Thank you. Yes. I've enjoyed a weekend of watching other people do sporting events. I've had a friend do an ultra and another one do a trail marathon, whereas I just walked around Limdown. That was as far as I got.
Lovely. Right. Mm. Very good. Okay.
Did you bump into anyone interesting around Limdown or anything?
No, not for a couple of weeks. Last person I bumped into was young Yestin.
He's going to say Yestin Harris. He always says Yestin Harris. Always bumping into
him. He's the one I see most, I think.
Is he?
Is he?
Does he? I remember, was it Brian Smith who used to do the commentary on... Tony Smith's brother used to do the commentary on ITV, didn't he? With Elton, was it Elton? Not Elton Wellesby. Was it Elton Wellesby that did the when they had it for like 1 year on ITV? The
rugby. Clive Tilsley did
Clive,
it.
Clive Tilsley. Yeah, that's him. And he always used to refer to like Yestin Harris didn't seem to be moving, yet he was moving at speed. He was like an optical illusion. Do you find that at Limdam? Do you find like he's coming along the bank and you think, oh, it'll be a while before he gets to me? Before you know it,
he's on you. Yeah, with his dogs.
I always thought he could go to another gear and he never did. You know, I always thought there was that, you know what I mean? It was like he needed another cog somehow.
Looked almost effortless, didn't it, sometimes?
Right, should we press on then?
We're probably better at it. I mean, it was better small talk than what we had in the green room
green
again,
world.
Wasn't it? Jeez. Yeah, it was a green world. Jesus.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
I've had a drink. I noticed you put fog on in the shit in the script. I was a fog on at the weekend. Just a bit of a synchronicity.
Well, we'll come on to that.
If you
in
do
a second.
Swear, because I mean, you've watched Kitson now, so you probably say.
I think Kitson only said 67 times last night. So
okay,
made me feel a lot better.
Yeah, well, we'll play the fog on over you.
Okay, the review of Catalans away. The team was Josh Thulis, Ashton King Hopewate, Jake Thulis, William Sneed, Harrison Walker Byrne, Tanganoa, Stone, Curry. Interchange bench was Sipley, Wood, Powell, and unfortunately, Philbin. So, with sidekick Steve off to Hull, would the news have an effect on Warrington? Here's the highlights.
Warrington down with Snead. This time the right side and the space. Hopperati! Skewis will score in the corner.
Je vous parle d'un temps que les moins de 20 ans ne peuvent pas connaître. Mon mari en ce temps-là.
Here's Williams with a little step. Brilliant to George Williams. Oh, this is going to be a sensational try. This time, nothing. Nothing Charlie Staines can do about it.
Moi qui criais famine et toi qui posais nu. La bonne.
Here is leaving now. Sexton with a long pass. Third time lucky. No mistake this time. No stopping Makinson this time.
La bohème. La bohème. Nous ne...
Lipowicz leaving for Tarpe. Deborah Matar will score. What a try for the Catalan Dragons. They have cashed in on Warrington being down to 12.
Que miséreux. Avec le ventre creux, nous ne cessions d'y croire. Et qu'en quelques bistrots, contre un bon repas chaud.
Curry and Walls and Williams and King gets the ball away to Tangamera. Tangamera's got pace, you know. Tangamera, can he offload? He can to Fewless. A fabulous Warrington try out of absolutely nothing.
Ça voulait dire, tu es jolie.
Garcia plays the ball. Sexton again. Well, he was going to kick, but he decides not to. Leaming, and the chances are on the far side for Makinson. Makinson is going to get the try easy. His try is given.
C'est des nuits blanches, retouchant le dessin de la ligne d'un sein du galbe d'une ange.
185 metres with the ball, Charlie Staines. Here's the dangerous far tarpy. Oh. There's the offload to Sexton. There's the offload. Oh, brilliant, brilliant, brilliant from Lewis Dunn. What a try! And Catalan hit the front for the first time in this game.
Ça voulait dire on a 20 ans.
Start to edge the way back into this game. Fatape is looking for it! Fatape! Ball goes inside for Dawn! Lewis Dawn with his second try!
Quand au hasard des jours, je m'en vais faire un tour à mon ancienne adresse.
And then that huge game in Paris against Wigan Warriors.
Oh, Dawn to go for the hat-trick!
Mon décor, mon marbre semble triste et les lilas sont morts. La bohème.
Picked up on the bounce by Dodd. Little chip over the top, the ball will bounce there for Lipowicz! And he deserves a try as well, he's been immense.
La bohème, ça ne veut plus rien dire.
A chance maybe for Ward to score, and he will, a consolation score for Max Warner's first Super League appearance this season. He spent a lot of it on loan.
Oh dear, oh dear, oh dear, oh dear. Catalans 38, Warrington 22. There were tries for the Thewlis brothers, Williams, and also Wood scored at the end. Conversion Snead, 3 from 4. Referee was Noel Edmonds. I don't have the attendance. There were injuries in the game to Harrison and Sipley. Now, we should probably say where we all were, first of all. I mean, it was a 3 a.m. kickoff for me. As always, my internal wire clock went off at 2:50, so I did watch it live. But we were a little bit worried, Dennis, that possibly... I mean, you sent a picture about half an hour before kickoff, and you were on the side of a cliff.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Parked on the side of a cliff in your camper van. It reminded me of, the, you know, the young ones, the last episode where they all go over the cliff I think we're listening to Cliff Richard. I thought, oh God, is that what's going to happen?
Yeah, it was a bit like the Italian job, the coach in the Italian job. I was sort of teetering on the edge on the cliff. But yeah, I managed to get a signal while I was on the campsite. So I was camped out there. And yeah, I thought we played pretty well in all in all. I didn't think I was too disappointed with it. I can see Sam's going to come.
He's had a drink, Sam. Yeah, he's all giddy. He's come on about his little granddaughter.
The positive side of life.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say that there was a few, until the 72nd minute where that pass went to no one and it hit the ground. And then it was just like, what the fuck is this all about? We just seemed to give up at some point. But up until that point, I was like quite happy. Did you not see the same thing, Sam? Am I watching a different game?
I didn't see the same thing, to be fair. Dennis, I saw a very good competitive 30 minutes where we looked very dangerous, took a 10-0 lead, but then towards the end of the first half, they stripped us wide once, and Thewlis made a very good last-ditch tackle. Then they took us wide again, ended up with Ashton tackling the man off the ball and being sin-binned. And then they were already getting round us, and that made it a lot easier for them to score. And all of a sudden, from 10-0 up, we were 10-all. And Rob sent a message. I think, I can't remember the exact words, but the gist was, this feels like Leeds again, or something like that.
Yes, very shrewd, wasn't I? Very, Confucius got it in early. I've got standard messages in copy and paste in a notepad. Yeah. I just put them. I just look which one is this going to be this week. That's what I do. Put this one in, and that's what I put in.
Did I read it right that hold on? But did I read it right that Ashton challenged that tackle and got himself sent off? Because up until that point, it was just going to be a penalty, and then he went, "Oh no, challenged it," and then he had no option to send him off. Not. That's the way I read it.
No, he had to go. It was a professional foul. I don't think there was anything he could do there.
No.
Had he left it, probably he would have gone into touch Makinson. But it was just unfortunate. And at least he was committing to try and do something. But, I mean, that was just the tip of the iceberg, right? It was just where the telltale signs started.
Ironically, if he'd have been a little bit slower, he'd have arrived at the tackle just as Makinson was touching it, but he was a bit too quick, got there a bit too soon.
That's a positive.
Okay.
So I think we had eight or nine minutes towards half time, which took it from a real positive looking 10-0 to 10-all with a Catalans team that was suddenly up for it and full of confidence.
Did you watch this, Rob? Did you watch it?
I did, and I thought I'd had a micro sleep because the first kick, I think they gave us a convert. They didn't sort of know where it had gone over, and they did put the screen up as 6 points, and then they must have changed it because then they scored again and converted, and they were suddenly on 10.
So yes, that's right.
One of them that's must right. have, the first one missed. But they
no,
got it
the first one missed.
Okay. Yeah, I did watch it. I thought it had all those Leopards don't change the spot signs of a Warrington team from the last 30 years, right? Like, you know, all those times, you know, you just, I said before that you can't pick what's going to happen at Catalans, and we don't have the beef in the pack. I think the front row is very poor. It was pointed out to me by Michel Cartier, who watches Melbourne every week, that the line speed, we don't even think about line speed, but he came out with that line speed was really slow. And I agree. I think I don't mind the back three. I don't mind Curry, Tanganawa, and whoever Stone. Else was in and Stone. I think they are a solid back three. But the forwards to me were missing weight again. There's just not. They've got some big boppers. I know they had some big fellas out wide as well, and they've been a real handful. But just that extra weight in a game like that. It just comes to the fore as the game goes on, and we just looked stretched. We looked tired.
We had Sifley.
He only came on for he made two offloads. I think I sent a message to say his first two drives, he got the ball away. He made two offloads. he didn't come back on for a second spell because he was injured again.
Is that the difference, though, that they started off well with the forwards and then they lost Harrison and Sipley, didn't they? So is that where it fell off?
I don't think Harrison is a quality forward. I think Harrison fits into that mould of Philbin. I just don't... We said this. He hasn't progressed into a Chris Hill. Harrison is the Harrison we signed. He's okay, but he hasn't really got any weight. He's tall. Centre of gravity is slightly in the wrong place.
Do you think, as opposed to weight, you're talking more power, i.e. the breakthrough?
I think mass. I think just density. I don't know what it is, but they just don't look as big, you know?
Gravity.
There's a tackle gag screen up next week.
He's got mass, gravity, density. So what is the perfect gravity? Have we got a centre of gravity? I think we covered this, didn't we, in Series 2?
When I went to watch Kitson last night, he was on at Sydney University and he was playing at the Student Unions bar and it was in Physics Lane. So if you could get onto that, Dennis. Yeah.
Excellent. That sounds
and
good.
All the way as we walked down Physics Lane, I was trying to think of a gag to tell Mrs. London. I couldn't think of one. I was really, really disappointed in myself.
Just always go to astrophysics and go to a Uranus. That's all you have to do every time.
Do you want some? Should we have some stats then? Tackles.
Just before you do, please, Rob, I was just thinking they scored in 50 because they went nil till about 31 minutes. So they've scored, I think I've made it right, 7 tries in under 50 minutes against us. And they got on a real roll. And I did write down here to back up what Dennis perhaps I think we'd have lost anyway. But was the size of loss due to Harrison and Sipley not being available in the second half?
Certainly couldn't help, right? Certainly couldn't help. Mm-hmm. Tackles. Curry and Stone led the way. Both made 42 tackles. I do think, though, that the amount of effort and work that Stone puts in the tackles is diminishing his return in offence because he's only carried the ball 3 times for 24 metres. Mm. Curry... not as bad at all. Curry's gone for 12 carries and 74 metres, but Stone really is just tackling at the moment. Byrne, shout out to Byrne. I thought Byrne was our best forward. I thought he did have quick line speed. I thought he did come out. I like Byrne. I think Byrne is probably the biggest asset in all our props at the moment. I think he's playing significantly better than what I think we all expected. I think he looks keen. He came out and he walloped a couple of them on a couple of occasions with legal tackles. Thought he was great. Meters, Williams, 206 meters. He got that break, didn't he? Josh Thulis, 138. Hapawati, 124. Again, I think Hapawati and also King are having to really put a shift in. King made 121 meters. I just look at those meters and say, where's our first forward? Like, where's the forwards? And the first forward is Curry on 74. Tanganawa 71, then you have to go down to Byrne on 61, Harrison 55, Sipley 50, Philbin 49, Wood 38, who came on what for 30 seconds. I just think we're very reliant on centres and wingers carrying the ball forward from our own line.
Well, that was a reflection of the second half, I thought. It just seemed to be that all your pacey players are just like too busy carrying the ball off their own line sort of thing. So,
Dodd was made to look a world beater and couldn't get a game for love nor money in the NRL.
Yeah. It was interesting. Clearly he got the plaudits, but he did score a couple of very nice tries, but he got the plaudits for tries. I thought it was Sexton who was running the game.
Ah, yes.
I didn't know who Sexton was. And when I kept looking for Dave Sexton, the manager.
Oh, yes, Manchester United, yes. Coach 1974 to 76 or something. Yes.
But we stood off him on more than one occasion when he went to kick the ball and he thought, oh, well, if he's standing off me, I'm going to run then. And he just...
Twice, though, we've played where the halfback of the opposition team has just been allowed to run riot because Lachlan whatever his name is, Miller for Leeds did it, and then this Dave Sexton did it, didn't he? You know, and it's Miller a case of what you back. Said, Rob, about standing off and not like getting up in the faces.
They're just getting on the front. And, you know, again, I know there was, and Williams has his plaudits and he scored a great try, but I think there was another ball that he threw out wide that went nowhere.
Yeah.
And just disappeared in the second half completely. But he is behind a beaten pack. I think any half really behind a beaten pack is going to struggle. Put Williams in that Catalans team, and I think he would have had a great game.
I sent to you, didn't I? I thought that showed the qualities Williams has and the limitations we think he's got. His running game was excellent, even behind a beaten pack. He ran. I mean, put him at left or right centre, running like that, you're thinking, bloody hell, he'll do some damage. But as you say, he makes the break. His decision making is to try and throw a glory pass to the winger. He's nowhere near it, you know.
So. I had limitations because I just thought, actually, you two sending each other messages. I remember now, when I tried to send a message, I lost my internet signal and the game went off. So that was a limitation on my part.
Few forward passes in there.
Yes.
Different camera angle was shown and it looked okay, but there was certainly one in the corner for Catalans that got them back in it. Was it the second one that looked like John Denver had thrown it?
John Denver. Do you like the referee's haircut, Rob? Have you had your coffee this morning? I didn't check before I asked that question.
It's a thing, isn't it? It's obviously a thing in the north at the moment, is to have your hair shaved at the sides and show off your ears. So I've actually got a bit of eczema in my right ear, which Mrs. London's been treating. And I was thinking maybe I need to shave my hair around I've got some kind of mites or something in my ears. So I might have to shave mine. So I could be looking like him next week.
Have you had any down below? Have you had that trouble down below?
Never had that. Never had a genital disease.
Right, okay.
Genital disease. So far.
Let's have a listen to Don't Tell Him Your Name Pike talking to Sam Burgess.
Sam Burgess, thank you very much for joining us. And I'm sure you're disappointed by that, but you've got to say Catalan were excellent on the night.
Yeah, I thought they were very good. They beat us in most areas, I thought. We went up by 10 early, but weren't quite at our best. I saw signs there that if Catalan's got some momentum, that they might get on top of us. So, you know, it went that way, but certainly it galvanises a group sometimes when coaches move on. I think that happened tonight, but, you know, we were a little bit off in most aspects tonight.
I mean, putting this aside, you know, winning 8 out of 10, it's still been a decent start to the season. And you've got a cup semi-final to come. You've got a big game to come next week. And I remember you saying this to me lots of times before. The beauty is that there's always next week.
Yeah. Thankfully, we play, I think, in 6 days' time. So, you know, we'll review the game like we do when we win. We'll just get on with it. We'll look at areas we can improve, things that were good in our game. And we'll just get forward in the competition. I think there's no point dwelling, but we must learn.
Catalan have been in and out. I think there was a lot of emotion maybe with their performance tonight because of obviously Joel Tompkins leaving, and you know, I just wonder whether that may have played a part.
Yeah, I think so, Stu. I think obviously they played a lot of energy tonight. They've got a lot of youth in their team, and you know, I thought they were very exciting at times. So we didn't handle the ruck well. I thought physically they controlled us probably the most being controlled all year. So you know, it's something we've got to work on, but like I said, it's not back to the drawing board. We just have to look at areas where we need to be better and fix it up for Friday night.
Sam, thanks as always.
Thank you. Cheers.
Now, I was frustrated by this interview because surely the question he should have been asking was, has the team been affected this week by the news of psychic Steve leaving? But all he focused on was the Ryan Sheridan effect and the fact that Tompkins had left, and was this bounce back? But he never once asked him the question about, which I think was the question we all wanted to know, was how has this been affected in camp this week because psychic Steve's on his way, which surely it must have had an effect, right? We might come on to it in the news, but I thought he really, really dodged the question there. Don't tell him your name, Pike. I really thought that at the time.
I think we know if he had have asked a question, it would have been either sidestepped or pushed away. But at least we'd have seen the body language of, we'd have tried to read something into how he answered the question, wouldn't we?
What's happened to Walker? We gave him our player of the month last month. Yeah. Again, I mean, Dennis pointed it out, this at Leeds. He ran for no meters against Leeds. And again, he's the same. Carries 3 meters, 18. Yeah. Where's those little runs from dummy half gone? What's happened?
I think that's just, is that just good coaching then? Is that just sort of looking at us and thinking where we are getting our momentum from? Because it was so obvious. He was just like running the show from the dummy half.
Yeah.
And now they've shut it down. Simple as that, isn't it?
Sam, you got any rumours on that?
No,
nothing. Nothing. I'll keep an eye on him. Keep an eye on him against Wigan this Friday and see how he goes.
You say Lee then? You say you keep an eye on
no,
him?
No, I didn't mention Lee.
I thought you said keep an eye on him.
Is Lee in the borough of Lee's in Wigan, isn't it?
Could be on the rim, couldn't
it? Yeah.
Well, I mean, I can move on to the Super League results round 8 if you like, unless we've got any conclusions from
let's just hold on. I'm just going to dwell on one point because Sam Burgess said let's not dwell on this result. And I was watching the snooker this week. You need to dig out the snooker sound bites, by the way.
Yeah.
Mark Williams was talking on the snooker this week.
He doesn't care.
We're asking him. No, exactly. And, you know, I think as they get older, they might make the odd daft shot or whatever. Mm. But he's got this sort of theory where he can just sort of move on, forget about it and move on and then just get back into it. And I think that's what Sam Burgess was advocating in that interview. So I agree with it. I think we should just sort of say, right, fuck it. Let's just get on, crack on, get a few forwards in.
If you could bring a snooker player in for a team talk, past or present, who would you bring in?
Bill Werbenick.
Would you?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Presence.
He was on beta blockers though, wasn't he?
Yeah, well, you know, he has to calm down somehow. But, you know, just a big tray with about 8 pints on it there. Mm. He comes in, he kicks it over first. Yeah. Boomf. That splashes all over Danny Walker. And he gets sort of irate. And then he comes in and he lights up a fag and stubs it out on Carl Fitzpatrick. So I love Carl. But I mean, it's presence, isn't it, in the changing room that you need, you know, sort of thing. Oh, he gets his cue as well. Who's he going to hit with a cue? Shove it up their ass. Got anything?
Leon no. Hayes mistakes him for a bit of chalk. Sam, anything after that? I mean, can you bring it back around?
I think he sums it up well. I think the. When,
hang on,
when
what about your snooker players? I've come up with mine. What about your snooker? Are you bringing it in?
Who am I bringing in?
Yeah. You're going to say Tony Knowles, aren't you? Fucking boring Knowles.
Oh, no. No, I'll go even more old-fashioned, interesting than that. I've got to bring in Steve Davis. You've got winning mentality.
What, he's a DJ now?
Oh, he keeps going on about that, doesn't he? Mm.
Be on a podium, get Sam Burgess on the podium, Steve Davis knocking him out. Come on, Rob.
I would definitely bring in, I mean, you've got to think, who has been heartbroken? Who had it just in their grasp and then it was taken away from them? And
Jimmy.
To me, it would be, no, Tony Meo when he missed that blue at Spectrum.
Oh, I've got it in tackle gags. How dare you?
Oh, dear. Right, Super League results round 8. Hull 14, St Helens 24, Toulouse 0, Hull KR 46, Huddersfield 22, Leeds 56, York 6, Lee 18, Wakefield 52, Bradford just 12, and, wait for it, Wigan 14, Classy Cass 24. I've said right from the off that Castleford need to be in Super League. I've said they bring something to it. I don't recognise that Wigan team. Are they going through like a transition year? They got a lot of youth in there. It just doesn't look like the team that I remember. I'm waiting to see, you know, Fran Obotica and Graham West, and you know, they're not there anymore, are they? Have I lost track of the
team?
Well,
especially not wearing lime green. Dennis, would you like to?
I've got it. It's in tackle gags. Don't worry about it.
It's going to be an hour.
It in there. It's full. But I've noticed, though, Wigan, in a similar way to us, actually, they just sort of like didn't have the effort there, I thought. And they've not played well in the last few weeks. They lost three on the trot now. So, you know, they're coming to our cause, aren't they? And it's two teams who are playing very similar, I think, where there's a bit of, maybe it's just this sort of like early season, you know, getting a bit exhausted now and, you know, up with the pace, few players out.
I've got it. I made a note for when we come on to the predictions, but might as well say now, I felt a bit dirty earlier because I went on the Wigan fans forum to see who, what players might be out and injured and whatever. I tell you what,
any protection on it when you went into them?
Is that forum in DOS base? What kind of medium is that?
Yes, it is. That's the reason I can get on it. I'm to them, I'm like cutting edge. That's how far behind Wigan's
are. Are you like that good night sweetheart? Are you like Rodney? Are you going back in time? He's a dirty bastard, isn't he? Wasn't he shagging him both? Knobbing him both.
Yeah, wasn't very PC when you think about it, was it?
No.
Which Only Fools and Horses character would you have in the changing room for a team talk? I'm thinking
Grandad.
I'm thinking
clearly Boise. Today it's got to be Grandad.
No, Boise. Get Boise in there.
Trigger with his broom.
I'm gonna get this out. The Wigan fans are already turning on out? Pete. There's like 14 pages of we need a coach, someone who can coach us in some attacking play. They're sitting back on their laurels. God, they seem
something in there about Pete and the grass isn't greener on the other side of the, you know, like Pete, as in.
I mean, you say they're having a go, Sam, but you're saying they're having a go, but we've had a go for the last 3 or 4 years on the podcast. I mean, do we count in that?
Are Wigan bogged down by Pete's coaching? There you go. Another one for you.
Very good.
I like it. Yeah.
Right, well, let's have a look at the Super League table. Down at the bottom, there's three teams. Toulouse are on the bottom on 4 points. Then it's York in 13th, Huddersfield in 12th. Then we have four teams on 6 points. Castleford in 11th, Lee in 10th, Hull in 9th, Bradford in 8th. Standing all alone on 8 points in 7th place is Hull KR with a game in hand still. And then we have three teams on 10 points. Catalans in 6th, Wigan in 5th, Warrington now in 4th. Three teams out in front, all on 12 points. St Helens in 3rd, Wakefield in 2nd and Leeds in 1st. Caveat also is obviously that Warrington have a game in hand. Regarding our mastermind game, Sam now has two pegs in the correct position in Saints and Castleford. Dennis too has two pegs in the right positions in Leeds and Saints. And I just have the one peg in Saints. So, are we starting to see the teams that have come up falling away? They all were beaten on the weekend. Toulouse went down 46-0. Bradford got thumped by Wakefield. York lost narrowly at home to a not the best league team in the world. Are they starting to fall away now, Sam? They got. I think Bradford have picked up another injury. I saw it on the BBC website. I don't know who it is, but it's one of the headlines.
Yes, I think this is where I think now we'll see a difference in, or I'm making the assumption we're going to start seeing a difference in home and away form for these teams. The York result against an improved Lee team was at home. That's why it seemed to it was closer. Toulouse, I appreciate we're at home, but Hull KR seem on fire at the minute.
Yeah.
The Wakefield Bradford game I didn't watch, but it doesn't surprise me. They seem to be short of players. Bradford, the first 13 of all these teams look really promising and really good, but the depth isn't there, is it?
Right. I think the top six is now already going to come from the top seven. I can't see Bradford, Hull, Lee, Castleford, Huddersfield, York or Toulouse really bidding for a top six spot. So I think it's between Leeds, Wakefield, St Helens, Warrington, Wigan, Catalans and Hull KR. One has to drop out, but I'd be very, very surprised if anyone below Hull KR from 8 down to 14 is going to have any chance of getting in, even at this early stage.
I don't fancy Hull personally, and didn't at the start. But there's a lot gone on there. So I suppose in a way, depends who might come in for the rest of the season. Lee are the only team there that might put a run together because they have suddenly got all the players back and they've made a run for fourth and fifth in the last couple of years. So a long way to go yet.
Yeah, okay. All right.
I think Wakefield are misplaced. I think they're the ones that are going to drop because I think they haven't got a big squad either. And I think if they get a few key people out,
good coach though.
Is he? Oh, Daryl. Yeah. Have you
an emoji? I haven't texted Daryl. Do you know what? I'll send him a, if they win on the weekend. Yes. I'll send him a little congratulation text and ask how it's all going on. So I'm looking forward to his autobiography because he said he would tell all. Last time I chatted to him, he said he's patiently waiting, but he will tell all.
Oh, right. So, excellent.
There you go. Okay.
Before that, John Craven's News Round.
We'll start with the rumour that wouldn't go away, and that is Hull have agreed a deal with Warrington to appoint sidekick Steve as their head coach from next season. Hull have agreed to pay a substantial transfer fee. It means sidekick Steve will return to his boyhood club, where as a player he made 162 appearances. Oh, dearie. I mean, we saw a part of a statement, they hadn't been in touch, it wasn't going to happen, you know, blah, 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 everything's fine. Clearly, a lot of stuff was going on in the background. Milo working his little weaselly way in.
It's a bad, bad, bad way to go about it, isn't it, eh? With the other guy not being talked with, this, that and the other. You've really gone about it in a bad way. I mean, going back to last week, Rob, you were saying that, you know, all the cards are in Warrington's favour in terms of where we are with signing coaches and stuff. And now it seems to be that, you know, we all thought maybe he was going to, you know, Psychic Steve was going to come in, but
Couldn't wait, could he? No. I mean, I never believed when he said, I mean, we spoke about this last week, I never believed for one second that he wanted to be a number two. You know, he said, this was the right stage for me in my career. It was probably the right stage in his career because he'd already seen the signs that possibly the move to Hull was on its way. And I'll just fill in at Warrington. It'd be intriguing. I mean, what do we think? How do we think the team have taken this? I mean, it can't be, the loyalty's not there, right? I mean, no one's probably saying, well, I get it. You know, we're not standing in your way. It's, we understand you need to go. But how does it affect the team?
For me, it's timing. It's so early in the season. If this came out around about June, July, where players as well as coaches are looking towards next season, it'd feel a bit different. But to come out, what, seven games in? Are we eight games in? You know, it feels way early. And as Dennis says, the way it was done as well, my understanding is it was done without first approaching Warrington. And it was, I don't mean physically signed necessarily, but it was all done and dusted basically when he came and said, oh, I'm off to Hull next year. That's a bit simplified, but that's my understanding. And that was what has upset the apple cart a bit. Not that he's going, they don't want to stand in his way, but the way it was done seems to have upset the apple cart a bit.
You could be really quite positive, though, because you could say now that, you know, we've got two Super League coaches at the moment, you know.
Oh, yeah.
A Super League coach. So, you know, let's take advantage of it. And it doesn't change anything. You know, he's still got a point to prove. Before, you know, want to get a bit of success before he goes to Hull, I suppose. So
I think it leaves a slightly sour taste. I think that you don't quite get the same out of you. I don't think you get the same out of the players now. I think they've got an excuse to look at him. When he's telling them off in training or asking them to do that extra bit, I think they can look at him now and go, well, why should we? You're leaving. You've deserted us.
Do you think the curry this week will be the sweet and sour curry then that they have at the stadium for the game? Is that what's going to happen?
Okay. So, I mean, you sent a picture through before kickoff, Dennis, of a lighthouse. And I messaged back and said, are Warrington now sailing too close to the rocks?
You did.
Are we rudderless now? Is this what happened? Are we just drifting?
No, I like I say, I think you've got to look at the positive. He's not going to. I mean, you could almost say he's got half an eye on what's going on at Hull. You know, I can imagine Myler saying, "Oh, why don't you come down when we're playing at home and, you know, just come and watch him?" Does he get distracted like that? Does he, you know, start making a few?
Well,
we know there's.
I mean, there's bitterness between Myler and Burgess, right? We know that already. We saw that altercation in the tunnel. That leaves
in the tunnel.
It leaves a real. Forces the demographic a bit here. What happens when can he go off and have a chat to Myler after the game? I'm presuming Burgess hasn't made up with Myler. Mm. I'm presuming it's just all a bit, two's companies, three's a crowd now.
Well.
Was there any, could we have a new sitcom with Burgess, Myler and Sidekick Stick? Was there ever a sitcom where there's like three of them in it?
What was that one? At Robin's Nest?
Was that three?
That, no.
Yeah.
There was...
He's going to Hull. He's not going to the Robins. He's going to Hull. Yeah. Not going to KR, isn't he? So.
Yeah.
Injury updates, and the news isn't good for Luke Yates. The pocket rocket forward looks set to miss between 4 to 6 weeks with a recurring shoulder and neck issue. Slightly better news, though, for Kai Taylor-Frey. Burgess confirmed scans have revealed only a slight fracture in the young fullback's hand, raising the possibility of Taylor-Frey returning to the Wigan clash this weekend. And finally, one player who has returned from injury is long-term absentee Ollie Leyland. The halfback turned out for the Warrington Reserves last Saturday against his old club, London. Now, I've given him a little, it's my new little nickname for Kai Taylor-Ray, and that's, he does seem to be coming apart at the seams. So from now, moving forward, I will be calling him Kai Taylor-Frey. I do think that kind of fits. We didn't mention it back in the Catalans match, but I think, possibly candidate now for player of the month is Josh Thewlis. I thought he had another really good game at fullback. He catches everything.
Yes, I agree.
His brother catches everything as well. He catches everything. Sam tried to claim, we'll come on to the predictions later in the betting, but he keeps holding up a piece of paper. But I think the amount of bombs that go up and he manages to get himself under compared to Kai Taylor-Frey not being anywhere near the ball when it goes up.
I think we probably all agree, though, Rob. You're right. It's just that you are right. We all think, well, we're all in agreement that Josh Thewlis is a much more rounded player. In fact, he's a very rounded all-round rugby league player, and he's getting better with every year.
Yeah,
obviously, the big wow moment with Taylor-Ray or Taylor-Frey is that first 4 or 5 steps, his explosion of power, of speed.
Dennis, do we have the stats on Sam's pauses from season 1 to season 8?
Hold on, let me.
Am I getting longer and longer?
I'll write it down. Right, but you know what? It's just give me a thought. Why would we not? I'd change the configuration. I'd have 2 fullbacks.
Oh,
I think I would have Josh Thewlis and Kai Taylor-Frey, both in the sort of position at fullback. I think that could work as a new sort. You know, have the different lineups in football, 5-3.
Yeah. They don't do whatever. That really in rugby league. No, do we? Don't
we
see
should
that.
We should have two, we should go into a match though, right? Today, guys, we're going with the 2 fullbacks. Josh Thewlis, you get all the high balls. Kai Taylor-Ray, you're running off him for the straight up the middle, dart round the back and in at the corner. So you could really come up with a different game plan. So what do you think?
My lever's a bit short in the defensive line.
No, we've got more defensive. We've got a bit more time to get over and tackle someone.
It's a bit more, rugby union's a bit more layered, isn't it? They have a few more sort of, you know, because they're all fucked and all out of breath after about 3 minutes because they're all farmers. That's what happens. So, okay.
Before you move on, yes. I was just thinking, would you, now we're going back home, would you actually have Ewan Irwin, is it, back in a halfback instead of Sneef?
I wouldn't put Ewan, but I'd put Irwin in.
I'm confused. Yes,
I wrote him in the team sheet the other week, Ewan Irwin, and then I went back through the team and we had 14 players in the starting lineup. I couldn't work out what had happened. It's very confusing.
Did we have 2 fullbacks?
We had Ewan Irwin, the fullback.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Finally, Leon Mayonnaise has gone to Widnes Vikings on loan for a month. The young fullback heads to the Chemics to spread a bit more flavour into their halves, although there is a recall option if Warrington decide they want him back in the fridge earlier.
Got a bit of late news. Not Warrington related. Rodri Jones has been appointed interim CEO.
I saw that and I couldn't be bothered writing it in the script.
I knew
that's,
that.
That's how interested that. I was in it. I was like, oh, God.
I was going to bring it up.
The reason I raise it is interim. Is he interim because they don't want to appoint anyone permanent because it's just going to be a guy from the NRL come the end of this season?
Right. Well, wasn't the other one who's gone to, you know, Jeff Capes, whoever it was, the shot putter who's gone to St. Helens, wasn't he interim CEO last week?
Are you saying he's in trim for the job or is he interim?
No, he's in trim. He's not like Nigel Wood. Nigel Wood is not in trim for the job.
He was only the reinforced chair when he was in the position.
Yeah.
And so we continue with my next three entrants of the top 30 wire players of Super League's 30 Years series. In 18th place is Nathan Wood. Arriving midway through the 2002 season from Wakefield, the Australian halfback was key to Wire avoiding relegation that season, before really kicking into gear in 2003, helping Wire to finish in the playoff places and scoring a memorable charge down try at Wigan, outpacing Chris Radwinski to score in a valiant playoff loss. Wood famously scored the first ever try at Halliwell Jones Stadium in 2004, and that wasn't to be his only iconic moment of the year. Who can forget his hat-trick against Wigan and his little trip down the concourse? Great player. Moving on now to 17th, where I've got Louis Anderson. The younger brother of the then Wire player Vinny, Anderson came to join his sibling from New Zealand ahead of the 2008 season. The back rower's first try for Wire was the winner in an epic comeback at Castleford, and his next three seasons at the club were trophy-laden, with two Challenge Cup wins and a League Leaders Shield, and he more than played his part in these successes. A hat-trick in the Cup semi in 2010 and a score in the final at Wembley 2. A serious big game player. Rounding off this segment is Simon Grix in position 16. In my opinion, Grix might be the most underrated player I've seen at Wire, and but for some truly disgusting luck with injuries, he could be even higher up this count. A classic ball-playing loose forward, Grix is the sort of player that Wire have lacked ever since his departure just over a decade ago. Skillful, versatile and tough, he was always a dependable performer. 179 appearances and 48 tries for the club, but sadly he missed out on all three of Wire's Wembley wins through various injuries. My favourite Grix moment will always be his try against Leeds, fooling everyone with his dummy to kick and then going straight through the gap that he created. See you next time for part 6.
I'm loving this section. I'm loving Daniel. I'm really on board with this now. I know it's his opinion and it may not be the same with everyone else, but I think he's halfway through now. He's gone from 30 to 16. This week, obviously, he's come up Nathan Wood, Louis Anderson and Simon Grix. What do we remember about those three boys? Remember anything exciting?
Well, I didn't know Nathan Wood was the first try at the Halliwell Jones.
Did you know?
I was then trying to think, who scored the last try at Wirthspiel? Do you remember?
Nathan Wood.
No, it wasn't. Was it? I don't think it was. I can't remember the guy's name either. The other thing is Simon Grix. He's a player I just never really thought would be in the top.
Don't remember
30.
Him. Like, he was a really good class. Player. But never class. Really played much, did he? Never really.
I remember him breaking his leg. Maybe a bit Kai Taylor-Frey. About him, but a classy player. And I remember at the moment Daniel mentioned, I remember that very well. He half put the ball out of his hands as if he was going to kick. Everyone went looking for the kick, and he just stepped off his foot and under the post to score. Yeah, lovely try.
If he'd gone to play at Catalan, would he have been Simon Gree? Would they have said it that way?
Well, funny enough, I sat behind him on the plane to Catalans, and very nice young gentleman he was.
Did he recline? Did he recline?
No, he didn't recline at all. No, he was very well behaved.
Just going back to Daniel, though, whoever he puts, he's always going to split opinion. I think that's why it's probably one of his best features. I like the idea of it. Yeah. I mean, we haven't even got to when he announces that Luther Burrell's in the top 10. So, I mean, that's really going to split opinion.
He's gone with 9 British players, 3 Australians, 2 Kiwis, and he's got a Samoan in there. I can't remember who it was. Henry Faafele, who I think maybe played for New Zealand. He was born in Western Samoa. He's got 10 backs and 5 forwards. If you class Grix as a back rather than a forward. I think that. Oh, no, class Grix as a forward rather than a back. He's got 10 backs
forward.
And 5 forwards. In regards to Nathan Wood, what percentage of his career, either playing in Australia or in the UK, did he play at Warrington, Sam? What do you think he played?
The percentage of first grade games.
Yeah, either NRL or...
20%.
20%.
That is what we're going to have a lot. Have a lot of 20%. I'll go higher.
You're correct, Dennis. 41.8%. He played for... I've got it written down Balmainia. I think it was Wests he was playing for.
West.
Roosters.
Before the merger.
Sydney at the time. New Zealand Warriors, Wakefield and Wyre, 41.8%. Now, Louis Anderson. What do you reckon percentage Louis Anderson played at Warrington?
Oh, I'd say 25%.
25%.
I was going to say higher again, 30-something.
He played exactly, pretty much spot on a third, 33.1% of his career. He played at Warrington, Catalans, New Zealand Warriors, and pretty much split his time a third at each club. So he played a bit more at Catalans than he did at Warrington. Going back in Daniel's players, at 20, he put Alan Langer. What percentage Alan Langer played at Warrington of his career?
Oh, less than 1%.
1%.
Maybe a touch more. 4%.
Ooh, higher.
It was higher. 16.2%.
Really, as much as that?
Yeah.
I was surprised how many games he played for Warrington when he said
did play a lot. Yeah, played a fair few. Now, Les Boyd. What do we think? He played at the Magpies.
He's not on Daniel's list. Can I just pull you up?
He isn't.
That?
He played at Magpies, Manly, and Wyre. Who do you think he played the most games for?
Well, he got banned in Australia, which is why he came over here, wasn't it? But maybe he was only here for two or three seasons.
It was enough. He played more games at Warrington than he played at Manly or the Magpies. He played 68 games at the Magpies, 75 at Manly, 86 at Warrington. He played 37.55% of his career at Warrington. Benny Westwood. What are we thinking? How much percentage of Benny Westwood was his career at Wyre?
Oh, 85%.
Yep, you're not far off. 91.5%. He played 41 games at Wakefield, 446 games for Warrington.
91% is about the amount of, like, fat and bread in a Bigatus, isn't it? And then about 9% pork.
Has he still got his... Is he still doing that, Sam? Has he still got his little... Is that gone, has it? It's gone, has it? Okay. And the last one, here's one for you. Tony Smith as a coach. What percentage did he have at Warrington?
It feels like, at Warrington. It feels like in the UK, he was about 70%, but at Warrington, probably, about 30%.
Never coached in Australia. He did coach. He did coach at national level. He coached at Huddersfield 83 games, at Leeds 134 games, at Hull KR 75 games, and at Hull 37 games. But at Warrington, 301 games. 47.7% of his career was at Warrington. So, Dennis is looking at baby pictures again. He's gone off. And...
No, I've just had a message from Mrs. Waywell. She's away tonight.
Is she?
She's in Basildon or somewhere. Oh. She's just said that the pub nearby has just announced it's closing after about being open for only 3 weeks, which is a bit of a shame.
Oh, okay. So... Nearby you or nearby Basildon?
Nearby me, yeah, because it's a bit far to go to Basildon. It's about 4 hours away.
Oh, the pub in your village is closing after 3 weeks.
No, it's one near our village. There's,
What's
the one in our village is going to be a community village. The one that's closing, the Ashcott Inn.
If you had to sum up Warrington's last 30 years in Super League as a pub, what would you call it?
That's a very good question. Should we have people write into the What Bevan address, Gmail?
It's got to be a pub that's really decent but not great. One of those that's nearly but not quite.
What's the name, Sam? What are you going for? Last Orders?
Last Orders.
The Desperate Belly Dancer.
Oh, Sammy, it's gone all dark again. Oh, there's flashing lights are playing havoc with a fuse box. Why, if we'd known there was such a surge of power required, well, we'd never have knocked down Fiddler's Ferry.
Shall I have a whip round, Walthor? You know, for a few 50p for the meter.
Oh, yes, that's a good idea, Sammy. Ask Toby King. He's got more spare change in his TSB account than the Royal Mint. Oh, there's flashing strobes. I think I'm going to have one of my turns. I'm frothing at the mouth like our Shire horse, Shortle. She's always been like it. I've never seen so much froth since Mr. Smith's light show.
I seem to remember the only antidote for that was having a hot dog from the van in the car park before queuing for an abacab for 4 hours.
Oh, yes, yes, and you pay the price for eating that 12-inch boiled warm sausage the next day. Why, I'd sit on the Kazi for longer than a captain's challenge.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing, isn't it?
Oh, could we not have installed a dimmer switch, Walthor?
Oh, yes. I think all the blinking on and off has given Ben Curry welder's arc.
Hasn't that been caused by him looking at the tip of his glowing rod without any protection?
Oh, tackle sacks, the dirty old man.
Do you think we should extend the lights from the stadium, Rolfo, up the A49 and go all razzmatazz? We could even rename the team, the Warrington 49ers.
Oh, dragon bug my arse. Excuse my French, but what fucking idiot would come up with a name like that?
Perhaps we could be known as the Blackpool of Cheshire. We could offer overpriced donkey rides, Walthor.
Sorry, Samuel. Are we still talking about replicating the seaside attraction where children sit on lame, stud and four-legged animals? Or Toby King giving piggybacks from the HJ to the Lord Rodney?
I think those flashing lights have attracted a spaceship. It's a UFO, Walthor. A UFO. An unidentified flying object.
Oh, don't be daft, Samuel. UFO stands for Unidentified Fitzy Objective. Oh, any old diner do, Sammy. There's more chance of aliens landing at Halliwell Jones than Fitzy delivering any of his objectives to get silverware.
Sitcom. Well, I was quite excited for this one. The Blackpool Illuminations, bringing back memories from a kid before Blackpool became one of the most horrible places in this country. Flashing lights, the hoagie wagon, the hoagie wagon. I did like your sit on the toilet longer than a captain's challenge.
I mean, that's pretty good going, actually.
And Courage, glowing rod. But there was one disappointment for me. I feel, and it's not often that I can critique the creativeness of you two, whether I agree with it or not, but you miss a chance to put the Close Encounters. Boo, 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 boo.
Oh, that was in my script. That was in my script. You know, you know, you said I didn't write in my script. I did write Close Encounters of the HJ Kind in the script.
Did you? So that episode was a nearly, but not quite.
Right.
Okay. It's all right. We'll play that music over what you've just said, Sam. So nobody will have
excellent
a clue.
Give her six quavers, then pause.
She sent us four quavers, a group of five quavers, a group of four semi-quavers.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's
Pickle Band. I was in the bath the other day with my little six, my lad. He said, "Hey, Dad, what's that between your legs?" I said, "Oh, it's me hedgehog." He said, "It's got a big dick, hasn't it?"
Was the joke a bit risque this week?
Yes, I thought it was an excellent joke. Yes, well done. It's one of the best ones, huh? Thank you for that introduction. And if we go, we're going to go into Tackle Gags now. This week, Tackle Gags, I'm focusing on the joke that is rugby league statistics. It seems that every time Rob tries to review the stats, they're basically changed a few days later, or they've got lots of missing information. So it's just absolute shit. And the key information, I think, and especially for the game of rugby league in 2026, is the six again numbers. And I'll come back to it in a sec. I'll circle back. But encouragingly, Serious About Rugby League have produced the disciplinary charges table this week. Right. And it's getting interesting. So the top of the league, who do you think is at top of the league? And when I say top of the league, the team with the least amount of disciplinary
points. It might be Warrington, right?
Warrington.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, so Warrington are at the top of that. So in terms of, like, you know, where we are in the table, can we relate anything to it? Well, when you look at the bottom of the table, the bottom two teams, any ideas?
Towards the top, most, first and second.
Most penalties or the most banned and stuff like
disciplinary
that.
Disciplinary charges table. That's where we're at, Sam. We'll get to the penalty thing in a minute. Yeah, so who's at the bottom of the disciplinary?
Well, you bottom or top? I'm confused now.
Bottom, yes, well, exactly. The one who's got the most disciplinary.
I'd say that Toulouse.
No, Wigan and Hull KR.
Right. Well, I was about to say to you, are we too soft? Should we be having a few more disciplinary?
Yes, yeah, no, this is the question I thought, you know, could we read anything into it? And that's what I thought. Are we a bit too soft? Because we're not aggressive enough?
Well, I've said this, our front row, I think, is too soft.
Are you taking part, Sam? What do you think?
I mean, I don't want to go as far as eye gouging or fingers up arses and things like that, but the odd, like, you know, head knock.
Which one would you prefer?
What, for me, to happen to me?
Yes.
Oh, I'd go anything up my arse any day of the week.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, I thought, you know, that's encouraging that we've got some stats. So the six again numbers then, why would you, I was thinking about it, it's just a fucking idiot's this, is it? Because the game is actually being influenced by the, you know, the swift play of the ball, which is on the back of quite a lot of six agains that we've seen this year. Yeah. It's a stat that isn't a reflection on referees, but it's a stat I'd like to see because surely you could see which teams are handling the six agains better than others, you know, from the amount of points that they've leaked in and stuff like that.
There's no consistency on that six again. It is an utter joke. If you actually stripped it back, if you actually scientifically went through it, put it into slow motion and worked out which ones are being given as six again and which and what, the correlation would be all over the joint. I think I sent you on this week. There was one that was put up. I don't know who was refereeing. I think it was Noel Edmonds. And it's the worst six again I've ever seen. I mean, he couldn't have got off him any quicker if he'd tried.
Yes. Yeah.
And he gave six again.
I know.
It's just pathetic.
Interesting that you raised Brian Smith earlier, because he co-commentates on ABC, and I listened to some of the Aussie games at like 6 to 8 in the morning on a Saturday and Sunday when I'm walking the dogs. He was talking about, with the new rules and interpretation, it's just sheer momentum. And when you get the momentum, it's almost impossible to stop. You're then giving away more six agains and things like that. And Ricky Stewart, I'll just quote Ricky Stewart talking about it. We've lost the fabric of the game. The interpretation regarding six again is just given willy-nilly. Making the game faster doesn't necessarily make it more attractive because the scoreline is 50 to 30.
So have they got the same problem in the NRL, have they? It's exactly the same. Right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, they're seeing the scores widen. And I think the idea of it is okay. The idea of it penalises a team that's deliberately trying to slow down. But it's the inconsistency. Against Lee the other day, I meant to go back and watch and I didn't, but I'm convinced after waving 7-6 agains, that's difficult to say, seven times he waved six again in the first half. I believe he only waved it once in the second.
Right.
And you're not telling me there was any different number of hands in the ruck and on the ball.
If anything, you would think there's more in the second half as players tire.
When they're getting tired. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we all agree it's utter bollocks.
Well, yeah, we do. But the thing about it is that the narrative is at the moment that they're pushing on, like the commentators are saying. Right? It's like, oh, hasn't the game improved this year? It's so much quicker, this, that and the other. So, yeah, we're here and we're accepting the fact that, you know, we have like, there was one the other day, it was like 4-6 agains on the trot. I mean,
it's
just inevitable what's going to happen.
Ridiculous.
Maybe they have to bring in and say you can only ever get 2-6 agains on the trot and then they have to stop the game or something.
Can you not give a penalty instead? Or we could get
That's what I mean.
It could be like rugby union then.
Oh, fucking hell. But, you know, the other interesting fact is, did they not all bring six again in because of COVID? Was that not the reason? So they could reduce the number of scrums
or time
or
on the floor
and contact.
And stuff.
Yeah, and contact and things, which is a bit fucking nuts, isn't it?
Maybe that's what's happened to me with Mrs. London, because my contacts reduced significantly since COVID with Mrs. London.
Yeah, it's hard to reach her from that other bedroom. So the other tackle gag this week is the colour clash. I sent you thingy. Following last week's colour clash that never was at St Helens, this week sees Wigan wearing their third kit at home to Castleford, who turned up in their home kit in bright yellow versus bright green. And in the sunlight, it was almost indistinguishable. I don't know what it was like for the players, but for the fans watching it in that bright sunlight, it was hard to see who was...
caveat, though, the probability of sunlight in Wigan is probably quite low. They weren't expecting it, were they?
True. Mm. Yes, but I found it difficult. I've had a letter about this as well. Dear Dennis, having listened to your great tackle gag section last week on colour clashes, I can't help myself but writing in about the clash of Wigan and Castleford. I'm a fan who has a colour vision deficiency, CVD, and I've never been so outraged since when it was reported that Tony Meo missed a green in the 1984 Mercantile Credit Classic semi-final against Steve Davis, where he actually missed a yellow after an elderly gentleman shouted out as he was about to take the shot. Anyway, he said, this was absolutely ridiculous. I struggle with green and yellows, and it looked like an absolute clusterfuck and a shit show of players running around in the same colour. Mm. He's obviously struggling. I've written a letter to the RFL asking them to rectify these colour clashes immediately, as it diminishes the spectacle. I definitely will not be upgrading to a colour TV licence anytime soon and will remain with a black and white TV until something is done. Yours sincerely, Mr. Nat Musums. So that's just interesting about that, isn't it?
Oh, dear. Was that it then? We're done?
Yeah.
Yep. Excellent.
Predictions.
Good afternoon to you. Earlier on today, apparently, a woman rang the BBC and said she heard that there was a hurricane on the way. Well, if you're watching, don't worry, there isn't.
I'll predict Warrington, but can I do it with a caveat, please?
Next up for Wyatt, it's the pie-eating bastards. And time to send them home early on their pathetic Wigan walk. The game is at the Halliwell Jones this Friday night with an 8 p.m. kick-off. Now, in regards to the betting, the only one who had a win was Dennis. He picked up £3.75. I lost £51. Sam lost £15. Balances now are Sam, £143.17. Dennis, £279.63. And I've got £1,330.03. Now, Sam keeps holding up some piece of paper with... Oh, here we go. So last week he said Foulis, and obviously Jake scored. And I knew it the minute Jake scored. He was like, "What's happening?"
Oh, yeah, Jake Foulis.
No mention of Jake Foulis. I'm not going back and listen to it, but no, you're not having that. You're not having that, Sam.
He was still playing at Castleford when he said it. That's the trouble. right. So, firstly, we need to ask Sam: are you going?
I am going. Yes.
It's a bit of a downer, this one, isn't it? Because it could have been both teams coming in unbeaten on good runs.
Well, yeah.
But has it affected the crowd? Is it a sellout now? Is it? I mean, Wigan can't be coming in their droves anymore. You know what they're like.
No, you wouldn't think so. But I think we'd be very disappointed if we're not 12,500 again. We've got... You're right, though. Wigan have lost their last three matches in Super League.
Okay.
And the last one they won was just a 1.23-22 win against York.
Mm-hmm.
So they've lost that. However, we have not won a home game against Wigan since coming back out of COVID in 2021.
Right.
But overall at the HJ in Super League, at the HJ since we moved to it in the league matches, we've won 61%. We've won 14, lost 9.
Right.
Didn't feel like
so. We've got. I think it's which team is going to bounce back best.
Right.
Is going to be the question for this Friday.
Okay.
They're missing a couple, but are we going to be able to put a pack out? Because we've already.
Are you
going
to go to the pub before, Anne, Sam? Are you going to go to the, what is it, the Desperate Belly Dancer? Are you going to go and have a couple of
the Desperate Belly Dancer? I'm driving down to Guildford the next morning, so I'm going to be well behaved. Yeah, Mrs. Sankey wants to go and see her son, so I said we'd go.
Is there any nice restaurants?
We're going to a sushi restaurant on.
Oh dear! Careful now, don't get him going over there in Australia with his sushi. Sushi mad? Has he got a conveyor belt?
Sushi train.
I'll send plenty of photos to him and just wait for the. They're not scallops. We get them twice as big over here. They're not prawns. We get them five times bigger over here and stuff like that. We'll wait for all that to come from him.
That's normal. Got any predictions?
No, I'm going to wait for you guys to do your predictions.
Okay. Well, I don't think it's worth betting on this one because they do miss Bevan French. I don't think they're quite the same team without Bevan French, right? He's out. So I think
the number seven Smith is banned as well.
Right. Okay. I did see Jay Field make a pathetic attempt at a tackle in the game against Castleford. Absolutely pathetic. Just wasn't interested. So I think based on the fact that they aren't playing well and the fact you've just said, Sam, they've lost the last three and those players are out, we are going to be patched up a bit as well, I think. But I think we've probably just got enough momentum to win at home. The six again will probably come into the play as well. We'll get the run of the green on that. So I'm going to put a pound on Warrington. I was going to have £10 on Liam Byrne as my, but I knew Dennis wouldn't be happy with
coming
that.
Coming around to my idea.
I'm going to go someone who's been very quiet for the last few weeks. He's been too busy tackling, but I think he might come back in this game. I'm going Sam Stone, £10.
Interesting.
Right, well, for all the reasons that we've just said, Wigan are pretty shit at the moment and Jay Field is off it. That other guy, Walters, is it? Or Waters? I can't remember.
Yeah,
for Wigan.
He's banned as well.
Yeah, there's a few out there. So I agree. I think it's going to be a fiver on Warrington to win.
Well, you should get back about 20 pence for that. Okay.
Yeah, well, it all counts. And I'm definitely going to go for £20 on Liam Byrne this week.
Pounds.
I think he's going to have a point to prove against his old club.
Oh, right.
And he's got a bit of knowledge of how the defence works. I reckon he can find a gap close to the line.
Well, potentially, on the assumption that Sipley and Harrison are both out, along with Yates, our front row could be Liam Byrne, Joe Philbin and Max Wood.
Can I change my bet, please?
I want to change mine now.
And maybe Luke Thomas, but I feel like this could be a big match for Ben Curry, Sam Stone, James Bentley and Kleppy Tanganoa. Because, again, Rob, the back three and potentially one on the bench, they look stronger than our props in some ways. Josh Smith, do you think Josh Smith is back? I've not heard anything about his little groin strain.
I've read today because they've just produced a squad that he's still out. So
he's still out. Okay, well, I'm going to go a small Warrington win, along with the average of 22-18, which is what we've been at the HJ. Small Warrington win, just a fiver. I'll match Dennis, and I'm going to go £10 Toby King.
Oh, he's pinched my Toby King. Right. Okay. All right. So we're all in agreement that Warrington are going to win.
We are. I think it'll be a close game. I think it go anyway. I think it's like you said about Catalans, this could be anything, this match.
I think what Rob said about the home sway of the six agains is in our favour.
Who do we know who the referee is? Is it Noel Edmonds again? Who is it?
Oh, Noel Edmonds is the one with the shaved head above his ears.
Yes.
Let's see. Well, he just got it.
Okay, that's it. We'll be back, hopefully, after the Cherry and Whites eat their humble pie. So until then, it's an Aussie 4-20 petrol shop frozen meat pie. G'day from me. A Greg's Steak Bake. So long from Sam.
All the best.
And a Southern Softy puff pastry homemade relish filliest artisan goodbye from Dennis.
Yes, there you go.
You've been listening to What Would Brian Bevan Say?
That was 42 cunts that you've just got to fog on out.